From Beacon of Hope Ministries in gorgeous, beautiful, absolutely paradise Clearwater, Florida. We're glad you've joined us today on this radio broadcast today, every Sunday at 4 o'clock, Tampa time. And we're glad to be here. Madeline to my left, and you've been a radio team member for a while now. And
a few years. Little break in between.
And here you are back with us, and we're so glad to have you back. And to my right, we have our, she called herself a radio rookie, Madeline. She's a radio rookie, and that's okay.
A little baby Christian.
It's
my first time.
Oh, Shell, it's wonderful. Her name is Miss Applesauce. Applesauce, that's what you call applesauce, which is just all this applause. We call her Shell.
There's three Michelles in our
church. Yeah, there's a lot of Michelles, so we just make it simpler, don't we? Yes, so Shell.
We have to keep it short, simple.
Short and simple. And we're just excited about today's show. It's fun to be on the air and talk about what God's doing in our lives. And had a great day this morning at Beacon of Hope. A lot of fun and good time in the Word and praising God. And that's what it's all about. So it's fun to be in church, isn't it, Madeline? Do you feel that way?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I look forward to it. And even if I'm dragging in the morning because it's early and I don't want to go, I'm always glad that I did.
Really? You're always glad, mm-hmm. even after you've been dragging. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, that's cool. And yes, we are starting earlier now, aren't we, Shell?
Oh, yeah. Discipline.
Discipline.
It takes a little discipline to get up at an hour sooner.
Yeah, hours sooner.
It's worth it, though.
It's worth it. And, you know, it's because, you know, our days are so full. And especially the first Sunday of every month, we have the nursing home ministry right. at Palm Garden, where Jeannie used to be. And the three of us miss her very, very much, don't we?
Yes. She was a special person.
She was. Yes. And in fact, you two talked at her memorial service. Mm-hmm. And it was just a blessing what you both said. And you know, she's been just a part of the ministry at Jeannie had for since we started 10 years. So we all miss her, and she's now with Jesus in heaven, and she's out of pain. And for that, we're thankful.
Definitely.
But we miss her. Yeah.
Yep. She's right here with us.
Yes, she is. Yeah. She enjoyed this. She listened as much as she could. So, but anyway, we're glad to be here with you today, and we are going to talk about David. And we've been kind of talking about him for the last few weeks at Beacon of Hope, and there's so many wonderful things about his life that I think we're going to get in there and talk about how his life applies in our daily lives. And we're going to talk about the work that God wants to do in each of us to cause us to live in more peace and more joy and more contentment. You know, I really believe that, Madeline, there's so many people out there hurting. You know, I see it all the time. I've seen it for years. You guys have seen that. You know, it's you realize that there's people who need answers for their lives, mm-hmm. you know, and it's when we know that God has the answers right here in his word, then it's exciting. We know we have something to share.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a powerful tool.
It is. God's word has brought us through. And speaking of Jeannie, I remember when you used to go and read the word to her, Shell, in the hospital.
She perked right up.
She did, didn't she?
Yeah, she would pretend she was sleeping sometimes, but she knew I had the Bible on me.
Right.
She'd make me stay extra.
She would make you stay extra and read to her. Yeah, because that's what she knew, that it would help her and lift her spirits and make her feel better. And I really want our listening audience to understand that and realize that. Madeline, did you grow up knowing that? Was that something that you grew up understanding, that the Word would kind of perk you up and bless you and change you?
Not at all. Complete opposite. I grew up in a Catholic church, and I don't want to say, because it sounds negative, that I wasn't encouraged to read the Bible. I just don't remember reading it. I don't remember being told to. I don't remember it being a part of my growing up. So until really I came to Beacon, which was after bouncing around a few different types of churches. Mm-hmm. I never, except for maybe just, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right.
I never really engaged in reading the Bible or saw it as the useful, incredible tool that it is.
Absolutely. Because you just didn't grow up hearing that. What about you, Shell?
Admittedly, I tried to get through the Bible, mm-hmm. Various versions of it, up until last year. And I couldn't get into it because there were a lot of places in there that I didn't understand. I didn't know whether to take the verses literally. You know, there's a lot of metaphors.
Yes,
and,
yes.
I was trying to get through the Old Testament, mm-hmm. and skip through that part and get to the New Testament.
Right, yeah.
But I now know that I need to read it.
Right.
And often.
Right.
And not use it as a coaster.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, there you go. That's right. Because it's alive, you know?
Right.
I mean, the Word of God is living, Paul said in Hebrews, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to get down on the inside of us. And see, that's the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize how important the Word is, because it actually does something supernatural down on the inside of us that we don't even begin to understand until it begins to happen to us.
Right.
You know? And either of you want to comment on that? I mean,
well, I like that in the faithful leaders, you're having us create an arsenal.
Mm-hmm. You want to explain what an arsenal is? Arsenal?
Well, yeah. We have a section in our notebook where we are writing down certain verses from the Bible and trying to commit them to memory, which is a little bit harder. But I've gotten a lot of them written out now, and I just love that, because instead of, you know, where sometimes you pick up the Bible and you just kind of want to, you're looking for something, you don't know what, and you're not maybe finding it, or you're just not kind of grabbing onto something. So now I have this arsenal, and I've asterisked the ones that, you know, stand out to me for whatever reason. And,
right.
You know, so I can go right to them, and I feel like I have this great, you know, sub-tool of the Bible that
cool.
I can just open up and get what I need at the time.
Exactly. Because these are verses that strengthen you, bring you hope, give you mm-hmm. encouragement.
Oh, yeah.
And so often, Shell, you're right about this. So often people approach the Bible as this book that is so incredibly scary. You know what I mean?
It's large.
It's large. There you go.
It's not necessarily chronological.
Right. It's not.
And it's written in a lot of symbolism and metaphors. And,
yes.
Many times it's been used against us.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Yes.
But I do understand what you're saying. Something magical happens.
It does, doesn't it?
I think that everything happens for a reason. And there have been times where I just open up the Bible randomly.
Yes.
I don't go in any particular order. And somehow it applies to that very day, the very
Amen.
Circumstance I'm
yes.
in. Yes. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. And yep. it's pertinent, and it fits what's going on. We are going to really major today on talking about God's promises and in relation to the life of David. And so we're going to start out with a song, The Heart of Worship by Michael W. Smith. Great song. Then we're going to get a little into the Word, and then I'm going to pick the brains of these two. All right, The Heart of Worship. Oh, well, there he is. Okay, we lost our engineer a minute. Okay, The Heart of Worship.
When the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come longing just
sets of words that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within.
You got a lot of people here today.
I know. It's a great crowd here.
It's a great big show.
It is. And honestly, Bill, we got more coming right now. So
no way.
Yeah, there's more coming in. And we're just so glad to be on the radio show or on the radio station. This is our fifth year on 1340 AM Tan Talk. And it's an exciting adventure for us every week. It's really fun to be here. So you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Besides me is Shell and Madeline. And we're going to have a discussion about Jesus today and what he does in our lives and the importance of the word and in the importance of worship and praise. And David is so famous for his time in worship and praise. Amazing. Let's go to Psalm 116. Let's start there today. And while you're finding Psalm 116, I'm going to give you a little background about David, because last week we were talking about the incredible man of God that David was and how he ran to the stronghold. If you missed last week's radio show, you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can access that, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can find the radio show from last week, and it would kind of catch you up. What we were talking about is how David finally became king when he turned 30. He was promised that he was going to be king when he was about 15. And it was after David was promised that he was going to be king that he actually fought the battle with Goliath and won. And then he ended up going into the king's household, and that was King Saul. And David was so popular because of that big battle with Goliath that the king wanted David right there in his court, so to speak. And what David did was he sang to King Saul. That's what he did. And some of these psalms that we have in the book of Psalms in our Bible, were a lot of them, most of them, were written by King David, although he wasn't king at the time that he was writing a lot of this. And he was sitting there ministering to King Saul on his harp, and he was singing. And he was singing these things that he was writing. And so these psalms come out of David's absolute love of God. David was in love with God. And when the song that we just played by Michael W. Smith, The Heart of Worship, it's all about, worship is all about being in love with God, just being in love with him. But, you know, that's what it's about. And so we see Saul took David into his court, and he allowed David to play his music and sing these songs. And when this happened, that David was doing this, Saul would get very calm. He would get very peaceful, and he would just relax and not be agitated, which I find very interesting about the word. Now, I don't know about the two of you, and maybe you both would like to comment here, but can you testify to the fact that there are times when you are reading it or hearing it or singing it that a change occurs on the inside of you? Madeline, I'll start with you.
Yeah, well, I think we felt it today in church. I mean, that's a good example, just when we're caught up in praise and worship, especially maybe in between songs when we start, you know, praying out. And just really, it's like a deep, deep focus where you just feel the presence of God.
Right.
And you really feel like you're in a different type of communication with him. And he's, you know, he's ministering and you're feeling it and you may get emotional. I mean, it's just, it's, you know, it's
but you're feeling his presence,
you feel like you're, you know, you're definitely communicating. I mean, even if it's not words, it's just, it's through singing, it's through the music, it's through the feelings. And I know for me, that's how I get it. I always usually, I start tearing and that's when I know that I'm, you know, I feel like I'm being ministered to.
Yes.
That he's just right there and
I feel his presence.
Stronger than other times.
Oh, amen. Shell, you want to comment on that?
I was just going to say that my particular time of the day that I enjoy reading the Bible is first thing in the morning when it's quiet.
Yes.
And then I feel that I can go into battle and get through the day.
Oh.
But I also use the Bible quite a bit if I'm having nightmares. I can't sleep because I have insomnia.
Okay.
And when I'm really nervous about something or I feel like I'm being spiritually attacked, whether it's at work or problems going on with the family, I read the Bible and it always comforts me. I always seem to open it up and it applies and I just feel like I'm not alone.
Yes.
And
yes.
The words come off the page and I'm having a conversation with God.
Amen. You know. Amen.
It's just, there's nothing more comforting than that.
There really isn't, is there? Mm-hmm. And I mean, we can, you know, a lot of people, they turn on their TV if they can't sleep, let's say, right? Or they're sitting there counting sheep, whatever that means, I don't know. But, you know, they're doing something to try to get their mind to relax and go to sleep. And I've often said the devil hates it when we pray for people. When we are awake in the middle of the night, we start praying for people. The devil does not want you praying for people. So he's going to quit agitating you and he's going to let you go to sleep, you know, because he doesn't want you praying for people, you know. Mm. But David had this whole thing where we can learn from him. He was so in love with God. And because of that, when he was in his worst times, his times of discouragement and defeat, and when he was felt like he was in the, like he described it in Psalm 40, in the miry clay, you know, to me, that's like that that sand that's all gooky out there at the causeway, you know, that stuff we were in on July 4th, you know, that stuff that just sinks, you stand in it and it just sinks you down in there. And there are times emotionally that we all feel that way, don't you think?
Definitely.
There are times that we just feel like, man, I'm sinking here, you know? Let's look at Psalm 116, verse 1. This is, I love these words. I love God because he listened to me. Psalm 116, verse 1. I love God because he listened to me. Shell, you have the NIV, so I'm going to have you read the first six verses of Psalm 116. Would you do that?
Sure. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live.
Mm-hmm.
The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the single-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me.
Ooh, amen. Have you ever felt that way?
Amen.
Madeline, can you relate there? Have you ever felt that, the way David was feeling here?
Plenty of times.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a wonderful comfort to know that you can say words like that in your own words, you know,
right.
Call out to God.
Yes.
Anytime. And he's there to listen. He's there to listen to me.
Right.
You know, when maybe I don't feel like other people are there to listen to me, mm-hmm. or there's not someone else maybe that I can call readily.
Right.
And the comfort that you immediately feel,
yes.
you know, and knowing that, I don't know why I ever forget to do it. Because
isn't that interesting, Shell? I mean, we do forget to do it, don't we?
Always.
Always. Mm. That's an excellent point, because David is saying here, I remember when I'm up against it and I don't know which way to turn, then I called out to God for help. Please, God, I cried, save me, save my life. But we all have those times, and I'm going to pick on you, Shell, because there are times that we feel, oh, wait a minute. I need God here. It's almost like we forget. We go into, I don't know what you want to call it, La La Land or something. Where
well,
we're,
you
we're,
said it today, if you don't mind me
no,
interrupting
please.
For a second.
No, please, tell me what I said. I love it when you tell me what I said.
When you're in the car trying to figure out a deal,
yes.
and instead of, you know, giving it up to God, you're sitting there driving yourself crazy, getting anxious, and then you remember, oh, okay. I have to give it up because we think we're supposed to, you know, God doesn't want to hear this. This is so little. Why am I telling him that? But of course he wants it all.
And I love what Graham Cook says on one of his CDs. He says the Holy Spirit is always there saying, hey, let me work that out for you. I'm good at that. I know how to fix that. Mm-hmm. Let me work that out. I'm good at that. And yet we forget that God is so good at working out our problems. And even the psalmist right here says there were times it seemed like death was staring me in the face and hell was hard on my heels. Up against it, I didn't know which way to turn. Then I called out to God, you know? Then I called out to God for help. Please, God, save my life, you know? Shell, comment on that. You've been there.
Yeah. You know, God's always there, and I can't be angry at him. If anything, he should be angry at me because I forget he's there. My automatic, you know, response to stress, to anxiety, to problems used to be taking a drink or
right.
smoking a cigarette or
right.
getting on the phone to vent
right.
to my sister or my friends. And I realized that wasn't working.
When did you realize that wasn't working? As you were doing it, right?
A long ways into it. I try to, I keep a Bible at work. I keep a Bible in my car. Just
right.
not the car I drove today.
Oh, okay.
But, when I can't think of another solution, I go to the Bible, and I kind of challenge anyone who's listening. The next time you're having a problem, before you knock it.
Right.
And before you reach for a cigarette or a drink.
Right.
Or the phone.
Right.
Open your Bible.
Amen. And you know, that's profound, because this is right where most people are, I think. They are at a place where they look for that means of escape. Okay. They look for that means of something that's going to make them feel better and get them out of the pain they're in. And it's our own base nature, or whatever you want to call it, that doesn't immediately think, God, that's where I need to run. You know, we, like you said, I was trying to figure out the problems on this deal. We do that kind of thing. We try to fix it ourselves, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and here's David going, God is gracious. Now, here's Shell. God is gracious. It is he who makes things right. Our most compassionate God. And I feel like so often the world out there, people don't, they haven't heard that really. How compassionate, how gracious God is, how much he wants to help. We're most people are in the fix it myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I shared with you today, I was having a kind of a tough morning, mm-hmm. and my instinct was stay home, don't go to church, because right. I'm going to be emotional. I'm not going to, you don't want to be out in the world when you're feeling low.
Right.
And I got myself through it. I'm still saying my prayers as I go along. I didn't want to go. I went and I felt uncomfortable. I mean, I felt, you don't want to be around people sometimes when you're feeling certain ways. And I shared with you, I forced myself to go and yeah. I said, I'm going to get through this. And of course I felt better eventually. And so you're right before what you said, our base feelings, instinctually we don't think what is, what's going to be the end result. We're thinking I'm in pain now.
Exactly.
I don't want to, I'll do yeah. anything not to feel this. What can
right.
I do? But instead, like many stories in the Bible, we've got to go through it. We've got to go around the mountain. We've got to go through the storm. It's uncomfortable. It can be ugly.
It's not
fun. But I can tell you, here it is several hours later in the day. And I mean, my stuff is still there, but I feel better.
You feel better.
I've heard God's word today. I've heard, I've had the support of my church family. All the things that we need to do for ourselves,
yes.
so that, so somewhere, maybe we need to write it down. So when I'm in that muck is in my head.
Right.
That's trying to get me to not, do the right things for myself. And the devil's really, working his way in, because he says, oh, she's in this great vulnerable state.
There you go.
Maybe I need to write it down somewhere to
yes.
say, wait, stop, you're hearing things wrong.
Right.
Here's what you need to do. And another quick thing I
Go
wanted
ahead.
To say was
Take your time.
With the Graham Cook CDs, because I can't say enough about them. And my favorite is Seeking the Lord, is sometimes you're just maybe done praying at that moment. I don't have the words anymore. What else can I say? So I put that in and now I can hear.
Right.
And then it gets me
it
praying
gets you
again.
Back. Yeah. Absolutely. So you've been there, Shell. You understand what Madeline's saying, right? Those times where you just really don't know what to do to pull yourself out of your situation.
Yeah, when you hit rock bottom and
right.
you've tried taking care of the problem by yourself.
Right.
It takes something beyond human strength.
Yes.
Yeah. Superhuman strength.
And, amen.
As Madeline pointed out, there's days it's hard to get to church.
Yeah.
And I myself, I just thank God that he is merciful and that he's forgiving.
Yes.
Because, I felt unworthy to come here today. When you asked me to come speak on the radio, I always tell Pastor I'm a baby Christian, I tend to stray. But I want to learn. I'm hungry for the word, but I'm not always the most disciplined or motivated.
And you know what? But I love that about you.
I feel great I came today.
Right.
Thanks for having me.
It's fun. It's
yeah.
fun. And you know what? When we feel that we are inadequate, okay, when we feel that we don't have it, what is needed to minister to somebody else, the very fact that both of you are just right now, we're going to use this word, very vulnerable. Okay, you're sitting here and you're saying, hey, here's what I was feeling. Here's what I'm dealing with. And in your case, Shell, feeling like you're inadequate or you don't have the words, yet we know you have it on the inside of you. We know that you brought the whole funeral to absolute tears when you spoke about Jeannie. We know that it is in you.
Thank
All
you.
Of this is in you. And so often, I think the devil wants to play these tricks with our minds and our emotions and say, you can't, you have nothing to say. You have nothing to, you have nothing to offer. When in reality, your very vulnerability is what people need to hear, because it helps them think, oh, I feel that way. I can relate to that.
I hope so.
Yes, absolutely.
I
it
hope
does.
I can offer something.
Oh, absolutely. And Well, I love this in Psalm 116 where we just were, when David says, death stared me in the face. Hell was hard on my heels. Now, for him, literally it was. I mean, he was running for years from King Saul, who tried to kill him, constantly trying to kill him. Okay. But he says, then I called out to God for help. And one of the things we want to get across today on this show is, don't wait till you are in the absolute pit of despair. Make yourself call out to God for help. But the fact, Madeline, you got up this morning, you came to church when you really didn't feel like it in your emotional sense, right? You just didn't really feel like it. But look what happened to you as a result of it. Same thing happens to you all the time.
Well, I was emotionally okay this morning when I came in, but physically I was pretty tired.
Okay.
And I said, Michelle, you need to get your butt out of bed and get to church. Because I always feel energized when we leave.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You and know? That's it. That's it. And the devil doesn't want us doing that because there is such power in praising God, which is what David knew here. And there's such power in coming out of your mouth with what God is really doing. Because look what David says here. God is gracious. It is he who makes things right. God is gracious. He's the one that makes it right. Our most compassionate God. And I think that we get tricked all the time into thinking that we are not walking in God's love and favor, that he doesn't really love us. He's mad at us. Of course, neither of you have ever felt that way, right?
Well, you know, in the church I grew up in, very strict, Southern Baptist upbringing, and we were taught that just about everything was a sin. Dancing,
right,
alcohol, gambling, you know, even if it were just playing cards, it was wrong,
right?
But that it was a very judgmental God. And my viewpoint has changed. I'm glad I didn't live back in the old days of the Old Testament,
right?
You know, pre-Jesus.
Right, exactly. Under the law and all
right.
of that, yeah.
And then that's kind of what got me into a non-denominational church. Now, I was segueing.
Okay.
But I kind of lost the connect there.
All right, well, it'll come back to you.
Too much lunch.
Did you? Okay, well, it'll come back to you. Madeline, did you want to comment on that?
Remind me of what we were.
Well, we're just talking about how gracious God is and how compassionate. Okay, and yeah. we so often forget that. We let the devil take us down a path of, hey, God's too busy. He's not concerned about, you know, the little things or your emotions or the things that you're going through. You know, we get off into all that stuff, you know?
We allow it. And that's what I say, you know, when you're already feeling vulnerable, it seems like that's when the devil is, you know, he just steps right in there and starts playing those, you know, those bad tapes that we do to ourselves, and you know, we just let it bring us down, or we can let it bring us down.
Right.
And I always say that I don't, you know, no matter how low you can feel, or no matter how low I feel, whenever I cry out to God, I get a response.
Right.
So again, it may not be the answer to what I'm looking for. It may not be what I want to happen, but he's there.
Absolutely.
And just by virtue of that, I feel comforted because I'm not alone.
Amen.
In that moment, I may feel very alone.
Yeah.
But then I, you know, I'm like, okay, Lord, here's what's going on.
It's so wonderful to know that our God is right there every moment, every day, and that we can just let it out. We can just tell him how we're feeling. And let's look at verse 7 of Psalm 116. I said to myself, relax and rest. I love that. I'm in verse 7. Relax and rest. God has showered you with blessings. Soul, you've been rescued from death. Eye, you've been rescued from tears. And you, foot, you are kept from stumbling. I love that. In fact, God is saying to us here, we need to relax and rest in what God has done and what he is doing in our lives and realize that we've been showered with blessings. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think it's a huge blessing to know that we have a God that simply is there every moment, all the time, day or night, no matter how good we've been, how bad we've been.
And Graham Cook says on that Seeking the Lord CD, you know, even when we're not with him, he's with us.
Right.
All we have to do is just call out. Just
right.
Talk. Just he's right there every moment. There's not a time when he won't be there for us.
Absolutely. What do you think about these two words that he said, the psalmist said here? I said to myself, relax and rest. Relax and rest. Talk to me on that, Shell.
It's always been a battle my entire life to rest and relax. I've always had a anxious energy about me.
Okay.
And I have to remember to not be so anxious because I am blessed and I've always gotten through everything.
Mm-hmm.
As you guys both know, you know, I've been through a lot. I look at a year and a half ago and I was hopeless, you know.
Yeah.
I was an addict. I didn't have a job and I felt like I was losing my faith.
Right.
And I didn't take your advice and waited till I hit rock bottom to turn to God and just got more into reading.
Right.
And the more I read, the more I understood.
Right.
And I started actually listening in church and not just zoning off.
Mm-hmm. But wow, praise God.
It really made a difference in
my life. I love it when people listen, you know, instead of just zone off, you know. It's really cool. No, I can tell, actually.
I just feel lucky, and I realized that I wasn't grateful enough, and that every time I went to God, it was to ask for something or to complain about something. But now I wake up and I thank Him every day
praise
for what
God.
I have.
Yes, yes.
I have a lot.
And that is, and you had a total turnaround, too. Mm-hmm. And if I may say this, that, yes, you were in a bad situation a couple years ago and a teacher that couldn't find a job and just a lot of stuff going on in your life. And you're escaping, you know, and, you know, just instead of dealing with stuff.
Yeah, I was trying to self-medicate and we know that doesn't work.
Right.
I should have turned to the Word faster than I did. But it's never too late.
It's never too late.
So I'm a good case of that.
Exactly. Not only is it never too late, but you can relate, Shell, to people who are still perhaps listening today who are in a situation where they don't know what to do here. And when we say that the Bible says here to relax and rest, that God has showered you with blessings, they just don't feel it or don't see it and don't realize the blessings right there. Do you have a comment on that?
Well, yeah, and also to what Michelle was saying is that, you know, sometimes it's timing. You know, you said you didn't listen to Pastor when she was trying to maybe intervene and help you out, but you had to hit that rock bottom in order to make the realizations that you're making now, and God's timing is never wrong, so it all happens the way it's supposed to.
Oh, it does. It does. And, you know, when we look at the life of David and he ran, you know, from King Saul for so long and was, you know, the enemy was right after him, you know, and trying to get him, trying to kill him. And through these difficult times, we see a lot of the Psalms were written because David was in a position where he had to learn these lessons or he was going to kill him. You know, kill him physically. And some of our listeners may be out there in a situation where, again, it's almost a life or death thing, you know. It's a choose life or choose death thing, you know. And when we get to that point and our back is up against the wall, I really think God has got a big old grin on his face and goes, all right, now let's see what's going to happen here, you know. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, I just think sometimes, you know, you have to go through hardships. If you didn't, you wouldn't go to God. It's
right.
What brings you closer,
mm-hmm.
is depending on Him. And if everything were going right in your life, you wouldn't need Him, right?
That's exactly right.
So
He allows, God allows, and I love that, and we keep quoting Graham Cook, but he's really good. I love this statement Graham Cook makes, and it really changed my life. God allows in His wisdom what He could easily prevent with His power. He could prevent things, but He allows those things. Why does He do it, Madeline?
Well, I mean, it's a great saying, and I can't. When the last time you said that, I said I wanted to write that down so I have it in my arsenal.
Yeah, isn't it great?
Because I just like,
I want to be able
to refer to that. But
yes,
you know, how else are we going to do for ourselves? I mean, it's so easy. It, you know, I now I'm trying to train myself to remember to talk to Him when everything is okay, too.
Right.
Not that I don't, but to make sure I'm praising him and thanking him when, you know, I'm not in that pain and it's
right.
easier to turn to him, or, you know, I'm not up in the middle of the night when I'm, you know, maybe stressing about whatever's going on. And, you know, then it seems easy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now I try to make that, you know, just part of my day all day long. When am I not, you know, I'm in the car, I can say prayers or put in a CD. I can, you know, stop at my
exactly.
workday. You know what? I'm going to get up and take a little just stroll around and, you know, I'm going to talk to him. So, you know, and back to that statement, if he made everything okay, where would we be? We would just, everything would just be fine and hunky dory, and we wouldn't have lessons to learn. We wouldn't have a need to read because everything would just be okay. So he has to, I mean, he put us here to live our lives, to learn, to grow, to, you know, learn how to love each other.
Absolutely.
And if he just went and, you know, I always say do a genie blink, you know, we wouldn't learn anything.
We wouldn't. And which you're a teacher, Shell, and I was a teacher and still am, I guess, of the word. But I mean, I was a high school teacher. And I remember going through classes in college and thinking, man, I don't like this class. You know, I wish I didn't have to take this class. And it was required, you know, for pre-med and biology and chemistry that I was in. And thinking, oh, I don't know how this is ever going to apply to my life. Yet finding that when I became a teacher, mm-hmm. oh, I'm glad I did that lab. Let's go do that lab with the kids. You know, they'll enjoy that. That was fun. Even though at the time I was like not liking some of the stuff that I had, papers I had to write or whatever. And I know you two are sitting there thinking, you can remember back to college days. That's a long time ago for you. And yes, I can is the answer. All right, so
sharp memory.
Yeah, sharp memory. So talk about that, Shell, because don't you think that so often the things we go through, we feel like we want out of that mess right now? Get me out of it. Get me out of having to write this paper or do this lab, you know, in college. I don't want to take this class. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're talking about you know, actual lessons, academic lessons.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking life lessons when you're talking
exactly.
about
exactly. It's a metaphor.
Because,
it's a metaphor.
You know, people have asked me about my life, and I've got a lot of stories. Not enough time to tell them.
No, you do have a lot of stories.
But they ask, you know, how do you feel about the hardships and the people who've hurt you in the
right.
past? You know, I am not bitter. I used to be. I used to
okay.
to cry out to God, why did you put me through this? You
right.
know, why was I 3 years old, 6 years old, 13 mm-hmm. years old?
You went through a lot, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, having adults who I should have trusted as mm-hmm. role models
mm-hmm.
abuse me.
Abuse you.
In every meaning of the word, every sense of the word, sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Verbal abuse. Emotional abuse. I've
right.
been through it all. And I've screwed up. I've made a lot of mistakes. But in my role as a counselor, I see students every day who are going through the same
right.
exact situations.
Right.
And I think those hardships and those experiences that I went through equip me with the tools that I need to give them the advice so they don't make the same mistakes I made. And it gives me empathy.
Exactly.
I can sympathize with them. And for that, I'm grateful.
Right.
Because I feel like I'm in a meaningful job.
Amen.
And I'm where I need to be. You know, I have students who come in, and I had one who came in. Her name's Belinda, just the other day. And she was talking to me, and, you know, we were swapping stories. And she has been through a lot of the same
right.
issues and problems and conflicts. And, you know, it asked if I was bitter, and I was explaining it that way. I mean,
yeah.
I'm right where I need to be,
right.
and I wouldn't be here, and I
right.
wouldn't be who I am if I hadn't have gone through all that.
There you go. That's huge. Therefore, no matter how hard it was for David to go through all those years, really, of being chased around the desert, if you can imagine, by a crazy man, his father-in-law, who was out to get him and kill him, and, you know, all of the stuff that David went through, huge amount of physical suffering and mental suffering, you know, yet all that time, David had been told when he was 15, he would be king. He was anointed king. So you had to think, in the back of his mind, he's going, wait a minute, God, you promised me that I'm going to be king, and I'm being chased by the king. You know? We're going to talk more about that on the other side of this song. One of my favorites, Terry McCallum, Praise Him.
Praise Him. Praise Him.
Praise God. Even now, Engineer Bill's getting into that, repeating certain songs. You felt God's presence
am I
there,
right on
didn't
this one?
You? That is a great song.
I typed it up on the screen there, but I guess you didn't want to
I didn't see it. And because you think that was really something, wasn't it? Yeah, we'll play that again in a minute. Yeah. Ooh, hallelujah. And see, Engineer Bill, God's getting a hold of that guy. I tell you, you're just getting in tune with all this, aren't you?
I like
Praise God. That's a good song. Shell.
I know it when you're going to repeat it.
I know you do. Shell and Madeline, if you were David running around the desert being chased by your father-in-law, the crazy man trying to kill you. I mean, really, how do you praise God in the middle of something like that?
You just do it. I mean, it's just something you have to learn, I guess, because I know whenever, you know, I'm feeling... blah.
Yes. Right.
The last thing I want to do is sing and pray out joyfully. But
right.
I've been learning, and you can do it through tears.
You can do it through tears. Praise God. Yes, you can.
Sometimes when I'm home, you know, I have this this statue kind of Jesus's face that was my grandmother's, and that's why I keep it around. And you know, and I get on my knees in front of that statue, and the tears, usually I don't even speak yet. I just get down and I start crying.
Right.
And I just thank him and praise him. I said, Lord, I know my words aren't matching my emotion right now, but I know you know what's in my heart. And
right.
You know, so I thank you and praise you for everything, you know, and
the
go
praise
to my
comes from deep within, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When we begin to realize that God loves us, no matter how messed up we get and no matter how many issues we have to deal with, when we can feel that praise welling up, you know what we're talking about there, Shell?
Well, as you're both talking here, what comes to mind for me is that I need to praise God more instead of. I'm pretty bad at blaspheming sometimes.
Okay.
Whether it's hurting yourself and you say the word God or, you know,
yeah.
JC.
Yeah. We have to be careful about our words,
yes,
don't we?
Yes. Yes.
And it's interesting that you bring that up because some people, that's their only connection with God is when they're saying that, you know?
Or complaining.
Complaining, whatever. But praising him, when it begins to just well up within you, and maybe you don't know the words of the song or whatever, but the fact that praise itself wells up from within you, it really changes your life.
Yes, definitely. You have to remember to say thank you every day.
Right.
You know, there's so many things. And sometimes it's just something small.
Right.
Like, thanks for letting me make it to my car before the downpour started.
That's exactly
started.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Because the umbrella's in the car.
Right.
Or, you know, just every day you can find many things to complain about.
Yeah.
But you got to look at the bright side and the fact that God has equipped you with the tools to overcome it.
That's right.
You know?
And he just wants us to learn to praise him in the midst of the situation. And even though that is hard sometimes, praise him no matter how we feel. What happens is, this is the way God has set it up. As a result of when we are obedient and praise him no matter of how we're feeling, we change down on the inside. There is a shift that occurs. I feel it when I'm in the midst of, say, a bad day, and I just stop what I'm doing, put the file down, turn off the phone, and start praising God regardless of what I feel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the changes really do take place. That's what this song is saying. And I believe it because I live it, you know? I know this is true, and this is what David was doing. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, too often we look at God as a bad guy.
Right.
You know, who wrote the book? Kushner, I think. Harold Kushner, When Bad Things Happen to Good People.
Yeah, right, exactly.
We automatically blame God. And
yes, we do.
It's not God that does it. It's the devil.
Right.
You know. And
it
is. You know.
And our own stupidity, you know.
Right, right.
Our own stuff, yeah.
But, yeah, he's not the enemy, and we shouldn't blame him, and we should praise him. And I get so tired of hearing it. People automatically, every day, whether it's they're failing an exam, and I'm just going back to, like, my workplace, because
we
spend 90% of our life at work.
That's where you spend your life, right.
You know, why did this bad thing happen? Why did this student get cancer? You know, and I hear people say, well, how could God let something like that happen to this girl?
Yes.
She's a Christian.
Right.
You know, she's a good person, and It wasn't God that did that.
Right. That's exactly right.
We have to remember his sacrifice. His son.
Absolutely.
He gave everything.
He already paid the price.
Right.
He paid the price for us when we are discouraged, when we're defeated, when we are escaping in whatever means. You know, you and I have talked about this because you look so much like my daughter, Lori, that I wrote the book about, or two, actually, I wrote it to her last year. Because of her addictions, you know, that she's lived with since she was 14. And she is getting ready to get out of the minimum security prison in the next few weeks. So that's an exciting thing for me. And knowing that she's completed her program and gone through this and learned. And she called a couple nights ago, and we were just sitting there talking about how great God is. And I thought, wow, what a conversation we're having. And she was telling me how God has just opened these doors of opportunity for her to talk to people and share with them how God has taken all this that seems so awful and turned it into something good in her life. And so we have so much to praise him for and thank him for, but we so often just don't, we just don't seem to see the forest for the trees. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And one thing that I like that I kind of learned, you know, by going to Beacon is to thank him for what, you know, we haven't gotten yet. So if I go to him with, you know, a prayer, you know, to go boldly, expectantly, and knowing that, you know, he is going to take care of the situation, and I guess thanking him for that in advance just gives you more faith that it's actually going to happen, because you're speaking the way it's going to be. And I love that. And that's just, to me, that's a new way of praying for me. And I'm grateful that I have that extra boost of faith, like turbo faith, you know,
turbo faith.
Thanking him for
Madeline and
hasn't
her turbo faith.
Yet.
Well, you know what? This goes along with what I was preaching this morning, that David was made all these promises by God that he would have an heir from his family live forever. And, you know, David, instead of saying, okay, God, how could that possibly be? He just said, thank you for that promise. All right, that's cool that I'm going to have an heir. Now, we know that that heir is actually Jesus Christ, who came through the line of David. One of his sons, Nathan, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in that line. So God fulfilled his promise to David. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk more about his promises in the next segue here, in the next segment. But I think that so often we forget that God has promised us a lot of things. So we should start praising him. And Bill, let's do what Bill wants to do. And let's do that song one more time before we go to station ID.
To
Praise God. Woo! Brother Bill, you are right. That is a powerful, powerful song. Praise God. Let's just do that right now before we go to station break, everybody. Let's just praise Him. Lord, we bless You. We thank You, God, for who You are. You are the great Almighty God, and we love You so much. We just pour out our love from the bottom of our hearts right now, and we praise You, Mighty God. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise You, God. We love You, Jesus. Hallelujah.
WPAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. Praise God. Welcome back. There it is, our station identification right at the top of the hour. And we do welcome the new stations that have been purchased by the station. Alabama, Mississippi, there's like 8 different states where we're live now, which is really cool. And then, of course, we are live on the internet everywhere around the world. And if you miss one of our shows, we encourage you to go to our website, which is Beacon of Hope Ministries. com. Now, it ends in IES, and we always tell you that because a lot of people think of Beacon of Hope Ministry and don't realize it ends in IES. It's plural because we got a lot of different things going on. So anyway, BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. Go to our website, and you can listen to any of the radio shows over the last couple years. And so that's exciting. And, oh, I was right. It is number 224 today.
And you got a little cutie dog in there, Milo, right?
We do. We have Milo,
Hello,
Bill.
Hello, Milo.
Milo's sitting right up here. Are we on video today?
We're on video.
All right,
so you
Milo.
Can see Milo.
See Milo. This is Madeline's new baby boy. And we had little Sammy here, my little friend, a couple weeks ago. My dogs, Bailey and Zoe, are not sweet enough, I guess, to come to the radio show. What do you think?
No comment.
No comment.
Just not articulate enough.
Yeah, they're not articulate enough. I don't.
They're the pastor's kids.
There you go, Bill. It's exactly what they are. Exactly. Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're in our 10th year. We are actually going to celebrate our 10th anniversary about the third week of October, and that's exciting. God has done wonderful things through the years. And we're really happy about where we are in the Word at this time. You know, God's doing great things, Madeline. I mean, and the prayer ministry, I mean, you're on the prayer team, aren't you? And you are, Shell. I mean, you get all the prayer requests that come up on the internet. Yeah, you guys get all those. Sure. And so when people call in with a need or they write in, a lot of it, we had one this week from Arizona, I believe. We've had them recently from Australia. We've had different requests from around the United States and different parts of the world, which is exciting. And if you have a prayer need out there, all you do is write us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Prayers at. What happens when we get a prayer request? Milo, would you like to answer that?
I think I'll speak for Milo.
Would you speak for Milo, Madeline?
Well, we get the prayer request, and, you know, usually it'll give a little blurb about what's going on, or maybe the person's written it themselves, and it gets forwarded on. And usually the person sending it out sends a prayer along with it,
right.
You know, just to kind of get everybody started. And, you know, it's a great tool. You know,
wow.
It gets sent out to all the people on the prayer list, and
right.
Everybody's praying for you and your family and whatever's
exactly.
going on, and it's huge. We frequently get a praise report following,
right.
Not too far after that
right.
has been answered.
It's
to
been
that
answered.
Prayer.
Mm-hmm. This past week, it was incredible. There were so many requests that went out in the last couple weeks, and so many answers and praise reports mm-hmm. came through already. Pastor Jim logs them in his little book. So he's got a book, and I tell you, that book is huge, the Book of Remembrance of all the praise reports of what God has done. So we encourage you out there, if you don't come to our church, that's fine. You can still be a part of Beacon of Hope on the side by just simply sending prayer requests or praise reports or things like that, because we want to hear from you, and it's neat, isn't it, Shell?
Yeah, I forget what Bible verse it is, but the one that points out that God hears groups, you know,
yes,
not
yes.
one person praying,
right?
If you get two people praying and three
prayer
people
of agreement,
praying, and
yes,
more people that agree in prayer,
right?
Well, the more. You're heard. You
yeah.
know, so
yeah, the prayer of agreement is so strong. It does work. And so we encourage our listening audience to make yourself I mean, use it. Use the prayer team and the prayer line, because that's what it's about. So prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com, and that's really cool. We encourage you to, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, and some people have not been in the Tampa Bay area and still make a trip to the Tampa Bay area to come to church. We got one of those kind of people right here in the studio with us today. And so you can come visit, and our service is Sunday morning at 10, new time. Because of so much we have going on in the afternoons at Beacon of Hope with the nursing home ministry and with the radio ministry, and it's hard to get a bite to eat in between if we because we used to meet at 11, get out at 1, and now we're at 10 and get out closer to around 12 or before. So that's kind of good for me anyway. So I thank you all for accommodating me on that. What happens on Wednesday night, Shell? Can you tell them about Wednesday night?
Wednesday night is Bible study.
Yeah.
It's a little more one-on-one. I mean, you can debate. You can actually, you get an opportunity to argue with the pastor if you want to.
And of course, you won't win. But anyway, no, that's okay. Yes, you can. Yeah.
There's more focus. It's a deeper, in-depth look at the Bible and looking at those metaphors, the ones that, you know, I don't always understand, for example, and getting multiple viewpoints.
Right.
And it's a good time to just see your friends, people who care about you, and socialize with each other.
Yeah.
And whatever problem you bring in with you, you leave, I guarantee it, feeling much better.
Amen. And you can bring your dinner, because a lot of people come straight from work.
There's always treats around.
Tons, right?
Cookies and brownies.
Oh, yeah, man. I don't know. It's Sean. You know, we have to blame him for that. Madeline, why do you like Wednesday night?
A little bit more of what Michelle said is that, you know, certainly for me, not ever having any kind of Bible study, it gives me that look into the Bible with explanation.
Right.
And since Beacon turned me on to the Message Bible, even better, because that's for me.
Yeah.
Message Bible, plain language, that works for me a lot better.
Someone really helps.
Was not, you know, knowledgeable about reading the Bible. So it's great. It's you know, camaraderie. It's you know, hanging with your church family and you know, all that time together is just so special and important.
We love to hang together, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we love to hang out together. It's fun. We have good times. But so you're welcome on Wednesday nights. Prayer meeting actually starts at 6:15, and the Bible study actually starts at 7. We try to be done by 8:30 because then the praise band has to rehearse. So it's kind of a busy evening, but it's a good time. So the other thing, and I'll say this before we go to this next song. Back when I pastored in Indiana, I taught us a class called Faithful Leaders, and it was for a deeper walk. It was for it was more in-depth study, and we had several of our Beacon people, which we call Beaconites, by the way, coming and saying, we want a deeper teaching. And you mentioned it earlier in the show today, Madeline, about Faithful Leaders. Faithful Leaders now meets two Thursday nights a month. So you can get on board with that. We've had one meeting of this series. We're studying the book of Nehemiah and the book of Philippians and coordinating those. And it's really a good, it's a good in-depth, talk about metaphor, Shell. It's full of it, you know, about what God is really saying to us and to us today and how it applies. So that's this Thursday night at 7 this week. And so it's all, that's what we got going on, nursing home ministry, and there's a lot happening. So you're all welcome to join us. Let's go to this wonderful song by Terry McCallum, I Came to Worship You.
I came to worship you. I came to sing your praise. I came to holy name to raise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sing with me.
I came to worship you. I came to sing your praise. I came to love you, Lord. Your holy name reigns. Find him as you sing. I came to worship you. I came just to sing your praise. I came to love you, Lord. Your holy name to raise.
God, oh, how I worship you, Lord. You are my God. Psalm 63 in your Bible is a psalm written by David. We're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we're talking about David and his life. Actually, David wrote Psalm 63 when he was out in the wilderness, in the desert, being chased by his father-in-law, King Saul. All right, and here's what David wrote. So I'm getting ready to get you, Madeline and Shell, involved here. God, you're my God. I can't get enough of you. Shell, I'm going to have you read it in the NIV in just a minute. I've worked up such hunger and thirst for God. Oh, wow. Working up such hunger and thirst for God, that is too cool. Traveling across dry and weary deserts. Now, wait a minute. That seems physically very hard to do, to work up a thirst and a hunger for God when you're walking across a hot desert and being chased by your father-in-law and his army. Woo. So here I am in the place of worship. And we played that earlier, the heart of worship. Here I am in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory. In your generous love, I'm really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. Ah, I love that. I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. And we do that, some of us, maybe just me, the crazy pastor, but some of us, we just lift our hands. And Madeline, you can't because you're on the drums, so there's no way you can do that. But we just lift our hands and praise God. I eat my fill. I love this in verse 5 of Psalm 63. David said, I eat my fill of prime rib and gravy. Now, who does that sound like? Jeannie. Roast beef and gravy, right?
Definitely.
I smack my lips. I love the Message Bible. I smack my lips. It's time to shout praises. If I'm sleepless at midnight, I spend the hours in grateful reflection. Because you've always stood up for me, I'm free to run and play. I hold on to you for dear life, and you hold me steady as a post. Those who are out to get me are marked for doom, marked for death, and bound for hell. They'll die violent deaths. Jackals, which is what happened to King Saul, jackals will tear them limb from limb. But the king is glad in God. His true friends spread the joy, while small-minded gossips are gagged for good. Listen to that. All right, let's hear it in the NIV, Shell. This is good stuff. This is David.
1 through.
Just the whole Psalm 63, yeah. Just read the whole thing.
Okay, I'll try to read it with a little enthusiasm.
Yes, please do. Yes. All right.
My best try.
All right.
Oh, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for the jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced.
Wow. That's a powerful psalm, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, don't you just see what David was feeling? I mean, that he's been accused of things he didn't do, that he has been... but he's in a place of he's worshiping God regardless of what's going on around him. He's being chased through the desert. Madeline, you got to comment on this.
I want that. I want his heart for God. I want that joy.
Yes.
I want to feel excited like that all the time.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's hard to maintain that, of course, but I want that.
And I'll tell you how you get that. The more you read these psalms, the more you read the word and get it down the inside of you that this is for you too,
right.
And you begin to own it as your own. You know, that's a phrase right now. They tell everybody, own your feelings, you know, admit it if it's yours. We have got to start confessing that we own this. You know, that we understand that God is there for us no matter what's going on, and that he's like the best meal in the whole world. Prime rib and gravy, I'd have to have some brownies with that to make it, you know, my best meal. But still, I mean, when we start saying, God, your generous love, in verse 2, here I am in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory. In your generous love, I'm really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. Wow, what is that? That is when you're in a different dimension, like David was, where you're realizing no matter what, that's a little song we used to sing in my church in Indiana. And I'm just remembering it right in the middle of it. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, the word is working mightily in me. There's more to it than that. But it's about the word doing something on the inside of us when we don't see anything changing. We don't see our situation suddenly turning around. But instead, we know that God is there and he's moving and he's doing something that we cannot see. You understand what I'm saying? Comment on that, Jill.
Well, talking about our friend Jeannie who had passed, you know, we had many conversations, and she had asked me, you know, how often I read the Bible, and I was honest with her. I'm not going to be honest with you here today. But,
okay. All right. well, that's nice to know that
mainly,
she's not going to be honest with us, Madeline. That's where I go.
I don't want to embarrass myself.
All right.
Like
go.
That,
don't embarrass yourself.
Really, you know, I told her it was challenging because the language is arcane,
right.
and I don't know what to take literally from figuratively, and right. sometimes it can be really scary reading in the Bible what happened to people who
exactly.
Went the wrong direction.
Right.
Made bad
jackals,
choices.
Yikes.
Eaten by jackals, yeah.
Right.
Right.
But remind me what we were...
Jeannie, you said she asked you how much you were reading and
she
all
She asked
that.
Me how much I was reading, and I was cynical, like a little child, you know. I didn't understand, but I asked her how to get faith like she had it, because we talked about a lot of things. I asked her, you know, what got her out of bed in the morning.
Right.
You know, she was sick for so long. Her body was broken, but her spirit was never broken.
Right.
And that's because she had such faith in God.
Yes.
That she knew there was better to come. And she said, you just have to believe
right.
that when you're reading the Bible, even if you don't understand what you're reading at the time, there's a reason you're reading it.
Right.
And it will make sense to you later.
Yeah.
Maybe not at that time that you're actually sitting down and reading it, but that something happens to you.
Something happens to you.
The spirit grows within you.
Yeah.
And you start, it's just subtle changes, and you don't even really become aware of it until others start commenting how you've changed. You
right.
know, there's a glow about you. Maybe you
right.
don't look so tired anymore.
Right.
You just seem happier.
Amen.
And, we
she's
go
right.
through periods of that, and
yeah.
she's right, and that's why we should stay disciplined and keep doing it.
Yes. And no matter how hard the situation is, get to a point where you worship God and you praise Him, no matter what's going on. Comment on that.
I like the word discipline, because that's what it really is. I mean, we have to do a lot of things in our day, I imagine, that we don't like to do or don't
right.
want to do. And if reading the Bible is one of them, because there's a lack of understanding at first, you know, I think we just need to do it, because like Jeannie said, and thank you for sharing that, Michelle, it's going to open you up. It's going
right.
to it's going to make sense. And the more you do it, the more you know, God reveals Himself to you through it, so that you can get relatability.
Right.
And you just have to keep, it's just discipline. Just keep doing it. And the rewards are going to be huge.
Okay, so we read it, okay, and maybe we read Psalm 63 and we see that David was being chased, but yet he is able to praise God. What does that do on the inside of us? Here is David who he was promised that he was going to be king, yet he's being chased all over the wilderness by King Saul, and yet he manages to praise God in the midst of this. What does that do to us?
I think it shows you that you have to believe in faith.
Right.
I mean, you have to have faith that no matter what circumstances, no matter what demons are chasing you right now, that later on your prize will come. And it's not going to be on your terms or when you expect it. It's God's timing, His perfect timing.
It is His perfect timing. And we learn to praise God in the midst of our situation, even though we may not like what we're going through. God never says to us, I want you to like everything that happens to you. You know, can you relate to that, Madeline? Are there times that there's been things that happened to you that you didn't like very much?
Oh, gosh. I mean, all the time. I mean,
right.
You know, life every day, there's things that, you know, I wouldn't necessarily choose, or maybe I did choose them. Maybe I need to look closely at that. But, you know, I know that my desire is God's plan for my life. So
amen.
All I can do is try to keep open to that. And that's my goal.
Exactly.
And that's, again, it's hard because, you know, we want to think through everything.
Right.
You know, and not turn it over to Him. But it's discipline. It's learning. It's being faithful. And it's just keeping on track.
Right. Sometimes we're so analytical, more analytical than we need to be. You know, sometimes it's very simple. God allows things in our lives so that we grow. You know, problems produce faith. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at that problem and say, okay, God, what is it you want me to learn in this situation? Instead of belly aching because we're having the problem. Okay. This next song couldn't come at a better time. And again, Connie, our musical director, I just give her a one word usually theme for the show, because I don't know where we're going. Yes, we give Connie applesauce right there. Yes, we do. Because she just listens to the Holy Spirit and puts the songs on in the order that she feels led. So listen to this Casting Crown song. I'm going to praise you in this storm.
was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. Almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away.
God, I'm going to praise you in the storm, God, because of who you are. And who is he? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. He is our Savior, our Deliverer. Don't get excited about this, girls. He's our Comforter. He's our Counselor. Yeah, there you go. He is always with us, never leaves us or forsakes us. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen to that.
He's our Helper. He's our Intercessor. He's our Standby. He's our Strengthener. I don't know about y'all, but I need strength from time to time. Madeline, you and I needed strength Friday because we had a kayaking trip that ended up kind of...
I was fine.
Yeah, you were fine. Yeah. She was fine paddling around the deep water, and I was stuck on a sandbar. Yeah, you were fine. But there's times that we need strength, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We need physical strength. We need emotional strength. There are times that we feel that we can't go on, that we don't see any way around it, around our mess or our situation. Mm-hmm. Yet God gives us the strength and the ability to continue on, to keep on keeping on. You know, how can you praise God in the storm? And why does he want you to praise him in the storm? Why not just say, God, this is a terrible storm, and get all mad and throw a temper tantrum and say, wah, wah, wah. Why not? Why isn't that okay? Who wants to be first? Go on, Shell.
Oh, you guys keep picking on me, too.
Yes, aww. We're picking on you, but you're doing great. Your first show is great.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think. I've had a lot of storms.
Yeah, you've had some, huh?
I've had some near-death experiences. But, you know, I don't think the near-death experiences where you're really praising God counts, because, of course, we all run to Him when we think it's our final hour.
Okay.
I'll go to a little less severe example.
Okay.
I know I say it a lot, but going back to when I was unemployed,
right.
What was frustrating was when I moved to the Tampa Bay area, and it's now been about a year and a half, you know, I went to school. I became a teacher. I served my country in the Army. I taught abroad. So I felt that I was a well-rounded person. And I never had problems at job interviews. Just seemed to come easy to me.
Right.
But then suddenly I found myself unemployed for the first time. And, you know, 15 months is a long stretch.
Oh, my, that's a long time.
And you're... ego, that maybe my ego at one time was too inflated, gradually was chipped away as I went to job interview after job interview. And I started actually applying for jobs at the level that I was at, which was mid-level management. And then I just, I was depressed and feeling sorry for myself and blaming God and everyone else and the economy and... I started reading the Bible, you know, because, again, I was rock bottom. but I read the Bible, and I read through Proverbs, and I got through it really quickly. I really enjoyed that particular chapter. But I just put everything in God's hands.
Right.
And I read the Bible probably for 2 days straight with... probably only a couple hours of sleep in between.
Wow.
I really didn't get up much to go to the bathroom or to
eat.
But I was applying to places like Publix and Walmart and Kmart. And, you know, I didn't care at this point. I just wanted a minimum wage job. I'd settle for that because it just wasn't enough living on one income with my other half. So I had to just put everything in God's hands.
Right.
And during that... 48-hour period of, I'll call it prayer fasting.
That's cool. That's wonderful.
I just said, you know what, I'll take whatever you give me. If it's a $7.25 job or, a contract job. And I ended up getting a call the next morning after this 48-hour period of just nonstop praying and reading the scripture and talking. I mean, I read about Job and all his trials, and I'm thinking, well, I can handle it. I mean, I didn't have it that bad. You know,
right.
I was just trying to get a job. I thought Job. Anyway.
Good.
But I got a phone call the next day from two different employers. One was for a $7.25 job working at an Ace Hardware, and I was ready to take that. But as it turns out, later that afternoon, I got a call from a college, a Galen School of Nursing, and that's
right.
Where I am today.
Right.
But it was a perfect position. It was what I had been looking for. And I think it was divine intervention.
Of course it was.
Because I didn't even, you know... I was ready to take that $7.25 job.
Give her a bell.
Yeah, that's right. Boing, boing. Yes, we give you a bell. Because it's great that you were willing to do whatever it would take.
Yeah.
But I think God saw the willingness in your heart and the attitude of your heart. And for you to take a two-day period, I remember you telling me about that period of time, taking that two-day period and just getting down and concentrating and saying, okay, I mean business here, God. I've got to have a job. And I think too often people don't take a set aside a time to really hear the voice of the Lord in these storms that we have. And that was your way of praising Him and setting aside time and praying and saying, okay, God, whatever you want from me. I mean, you were dedicating yourself to Him. And look how it paid off. And look what He gave you that very same day.
I trusted Him. You know?
That's it.
And
you trusted Him.
He made the decision. It was His timing.
Praise God. That's good stuff, girl. Comment on that, Miss Madeline Ercolano. That's her code name. Madeline Ercolano, but I've always called her Madeline Ercolano because that makes more sense to me.
Well, this song that we played, the Casting Crown song, was just always one that I've connected with because, is it any harder than when you're in the midst of, you know, the craziness that's going on in your life? I mean, this year with, you know, we've mentioned Jeannie a bit.
Yes.
That was
it's hard for
hard
all of
time.
Us, the three of and, us in particular, really. Yes.
And going through her last couple of weeks with her was brutal.
Brutal.
And, you know, watching that and then I had a physical thing come up with me where I had to go to the hospital in the middle of all that.
Right.
And so the stress of that, and I had a relationship ending
right.
going on. So this beginning of this year has been kind of a tough one.
Right.
And I think to myself, if I didn't have the knowledge of God being there that I do now and the ability to go to him when I'm, you know, feeling like I'm on my last, you know,
right.
my last emotion is frayed beyond, you know, being able to cope. I don't know how people do it because I couldn't have done it without him. And I'm grateful and for his mercy and his love because, you know, I just feel like he got me through all of these things and is still doing it because, you know, they
absolutely.
Go on.
Absolutely.
They go on.
And you know, we have mentioned Jeannie today, but I think that she just passed away the night of Memorial Day. And so it's not been that long for us that we're so close to her and seeing her suffer and hating to watch the suffering and mm-hmm. knowing that she was about to go be with Jesus. I just thank God that he gave us the strength to get through that and to go through those days that he did, like he did with you on all the different things you've been going through right now.
And to see, like Michelle said, to see her faith.
I mean,
if there's anyone who had a reason to complain over the last 3 to 5 years, I mean, because
right.
of her, you know, the decline in her health over that time, I mean, she would be the one.
Right.
And, you know, you think to yourself, my God, if she's not complaining and she's still praising God and she's still grateful
yes.
to be here, even,
right.
you know, not able to use her body the way
right.
she was able to before, there's just no excuse.
Right.
There's no excuse not to be, you know, praising God every minute.
And, you know, I think that we all, as human beings, we get caught up in feeling sorry for ourselves. I think self-pity is a huge pitfall that the devil throws in our paths when things don't go the way we think or timing doesn't go the way that we think. And I went through in my life in the last few months too with switching companies after 20 years in the same real estate company and really stepping out in a new venture and going 5 months without a closing and having to believe God for everything, groceries, everything, you know, and going to that different level of belief and faith and knowing that God was taking me to a new place in him, and it was fun, but it was painful, you know? Mm. It was exciting, but it hurt, you know? It was like, whoa, you know, we wake up in the morning, okay, God, we got to believe you to keep the lights on today, you know? And there's other people out there that have been going through those kinds of financial struggles, and in the storm, whatever the storm might be, yours was getting a job, you know, that was huge, and you came to a point, Shell, where you said, okay, I'm taking whatever time it takes till I break through this thing. And last Sunday, I taught on the Lord of the Breakthrough, 2 Samuel chapter 5. I love that story about David, the Lord of the Breakthrough, because that's really what he is. And when we're in the midst of these storms that seem so huge, we need the breakthrough. And the breakthrough, guys, is praising God. And it's being aggressive, and it's going straight forward. David went and stormed the castle and stormed the whole area there and took it back, what the Jebusites had taken from him. And he you know, and Jebusites, those always mean people of fear. That's what it means in the word. And so when you're talking about the devil using fear against us, he does it all the time, does he not?
Yeah.
And yet we are told by God, instead of giving into that fear, instead of giving into the self-pity, instead of giving in to those things that take root on the inside of us. This morning we talked about in Jeremiah where God said to Jeremiah, you're going to pull out the junk and you're going to plant the new things. And you're going to pull out the doubt and the unbelief. And you're going to pull out the shame and the discouragement and the unbelief and all that. But you're going to plant instead faith. And how do you plant faith? You get in the Word of God. And that's what this show has turned out to be. And that well, it didn't start out that way. It was going to be something different. But it's just the way it's been. And it is, we have to come to a point where we realize God does meet our needs, no matter what they are, and He will do it sometimes in strange ways. And even that day, you were willing to take that job, Shell, but yet yep, by afternoon, God had the perfect job for you. You've been there ever since, and you're very happy there. And it's a great fit for you in that school of nursing. And we thank God for that good job that He gave you. He gets the glory and the praise, you know?
I am successful in that job because I'm helping students who had the very same problems
there
that
you go.
I went through. So, yes.
So, doesn't it beg the question, if we never go through anything, how are we ever going to be able to minister into somebody else's life?
Right. You have to have been there first. Walk
you do.
The shoes.
You do. You absolutely do. Madeline, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I mean, it's in the same vein as, you know, God's wisdom, you know, He needs to allow us to grow in Him. And in order to do that, we have to have life experiences, both good and bad. And that's the only way we're going to be able to move forward.
Amen. And there's times that the devil just comes and blindsides us. That's where we need prayer of agreement with others, you know, where we can call somebody like our prayer line or somebody and say, hey, I'm having one of those days. Would you agree with me in prayer right now? And that person... The goal is to get us praising God in the midst of that. You know, when we can see that there is something that God's doing in me as a result. I mean, my faith in the fact that God supplies all our needs was taken to a new level December, January, February, March, and April of this year. I mean, really to a new level where I had to really believe God, but He came through. He so came through for me. Daily, He would come through in mighty ways. So when we go through those things, we know that the answer came from God. That job that you have, Shell, that fits you so perfectly, that came from your time getting serious about God. And mm-hmm. I can even say with Jeannie, she got to a point where she was suffering so much that it was time to let her go be with Jesus, although it was hard for us to see her go. But the absolute blessing that happened during her funeral and her whole life is just a ministry to so many. Did you want to comment on any of that?
Yeah, I mean, we saw her in that way for such a long time. And like you said, I mean, it was hard for us to want to, you know, let her go.
Right.
Because she just had a spirit, you know, to live and a spirit for God. And she loved being a part of the church. I mean, that was her big, you know, it became her only, you know, kind of outlet. But you know, we trusted God's timing.
Yes.
And we just, you know, we stayed with her and we made sure that, you know, we could do whatever we could for her until she made the decision ultimately to let go.
Right. Yeah. Wow. We talked to Jesus. I love this song, Kathy Tricoli.
Talk to Jesus. when this old world is more than you can bear. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. When no one's left to call, he's always there. Talk to Jesus. When you're scared your life is over, or you've never lived at all, and you trade it all tomorrow for a place to fall, 'cause you're weary of the journey, and you know you've lost your way, and you doubt you'll hear an answer if you dare to pray. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. When this whole world is more than you can bear, talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. When no one's left to call, he's always there. Hearts always break, and our ordinary dreams will sometimes slip away, yet somehow we remain a word away from heaven.
Talk to Jesus. That's what it's all about. No matter what we're going through, it's as simple as having a conversation with him. And I know we say this a lot on Living the Good Life, but it can't be stressed enough. God just wants you to talk to him. He doesn't want you to pray some fancy prayer and worry about your whether you're saying it right, you know, or these and thous. It's not about that. It's about you pouring out your heart to God. Madeline, comment on that, because I know you know that now. And I, growing up in the Catholic Church, I don't think it was quite that way for you, was it?
No, I had my little prayers that I had to say. And, you know, of course, I would say the ones I knew by heart the most. And if I didn't know certain ones and I had to open a book, I probably didn't say those. And I love that, you know, I can just talk to him like, I mean, heck, when I'm at home in my house, I talk to myself. I talk to Milo, so I just talk to him.
Exactly. I do the same thing.
Just plain language.
Right.
You know, Lord, this is what's going on. This is
right.
These are my hopes and dreams. This is what I would like. And
right.
This is what happened to me today. And, you know, and praise and worship. And I try to sing a little bit. You
yes.
know, and, you know, it's so easy. We tend to overthink it. Oh, at least I used to, because
right.
I thought it had to be, you know, I had to be on my knees in a, you know, in a church,
right.
in a certain place.
And, right.
You know, I love, you had said today at church, you know, it's not this building.
It's not.
It's, you know, it's where you are. I mean, God's in our hearts. We take him everywhere. And,
exactly.
you know, I used to think I had to go to my corner church, and that's where I did my majority of praying.
Right.
And the only other time I probably talked to him is if I was maybe confessing, you know, sin. I talk mean to my mom, or, you know, to
right,
whatever,
yeah,
whatever
right.
like kids' prayers are. And
sure.
And it's so, isn't it wonderful to know there's no restriction.
There's no restriction.
We can just go right to God anytime, anywhere.
Oh, amen.
The way we do it.
Exactly. And he's there and he's listening and he's not condemning us for the things that come out of our mouths. He really isn't. Okay, Shell, what are you thinking?
I'm just thinking that I need to talk to Jesus more.
And there you go.
Praise him more. And it doesn't matter where. It can be in the car.
Right.
Even if people think you're talking to yourself.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But one thing I have changed about my approach to prayer is I don't bargain with him anymore.
Ooh, that's good. That's good.
If you do this for me, then I'll do this for you.
Isn't that good?
Mm.
Yes.
And I don't ask him for things, material things.
You can.
I ask for one thing. That's it. Wisdom.
Wisdom. Okay.
Give me the wisdom to do what it is you want me to do.
Right.
And that's it.
Yeah.
It's short and simple.
But I like your point about bargaining, because I think a lot of us get into that with God. And, well, if you do this, I'll do this. And I'll go to church five times now if you answer this prayer, or you bring this person in my life, or you. Yeah, that's good stuff. And so God is just wanting us to be real. That seemed to be a word going around today at Beacon of Hope. Being real, just being who you are. And don't be ashamed to say, God, here's what I'm feeling. And I'm going to praise you because of who you are, not because of the mess I'm in right now. I'm going to praise you because who you are, and you are my King of Kings, Lord of Lords. In my mess, I'm going to praise you regardless of how I feel. Go ahead.
He, and you know, one of the songs says, you know, he loves me not for who I am, but for who he is.
Yes.
And that's, you know, such a great thing, because even if I'm feeling crummy about myself at a certain time, I know that he still loves me. I know that it's okay.
Right.
And that I can, and I love another thing that, you know, you had taught once, is that every day, it could be every hour, is a new day.
Right.
So I can wake up tomorrow and I can start fresh, or I can start fresh right now. I don't have to
wait
until tomorrow morning. So I can put that stuff behind me.
It's got to be the fresh start.
And the thing that, I'm not sure what scripture it is, but again, on the Graham Cook CD, is seek the Lord God and you will find him when you seek him with all your heart. And
amen.
I just think about that all the time.
Yes.
Just seek him, you know, purely, you know, with the love that I have in my heart for him because of who he is. And I can't go wrong.
It goes back to when David was saying, I've worked up such hunger and thirst for God, traveling across dry and weary deserts, even though I'm going through a rough time, you know. Mm-hmm. I've still worked up a hunger and a thirst for God, you know. Because once you've tasted his goodness, once you've tasted his love and the fact that he cares enough to hear your prayer and to answer it, once you, I mean, Shell, your testimony you just gave about spending those 48 hours, I mean, secluded with God, and then, bam, there was your answer and there was your job. I mean, come on, that is good stuff. I mean, once you've tasted the goodness of the Lord, David said it again in Psalm 27, which was my dad's favorite psalm. It said, I would have despaired, the last verse of Psalm 27, I would have despaired unless I would have believed I would see the goodness of the Lord right now in the land of the living. You know, we would give up if we didn't think God loved us and he was good to us. And, you know, and again, bringing up Graham Cook says the cornerstone of all revelation in the Word is that God is good. And when we get that down on the inside of us, that he is good and that he is doing good and loving things for us all the time, when we understand that, then we can praise him. We can praise him with abandon. We can praise him with, wow, God, you're good. You know, we sang at the nursing home last week, and it's so hard to go there with Jeannie not being there now. You know, it really is. But still, we had a powerful service a couple weeks ago when you were there, about 3 weeks ago. And we sang, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good to me. God answers prayer. And those little people were so cute. If you noticed them, I did. I mean, they were like singing that. They could get that. God is so good. God is so good. And I mean, they were getting it and enjoying singing how good God is. And when we get that down on the inside of us, guys, we can start praising God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Shell, you got some final thoughts? Man, 2 hours, huh? How you doing there, girl? You made it. You made it. Woo! Yeah. That's for Shell, making it through her first show. Praise God.
For having me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be praying for all the listeners out there. And
yes.
For those of us who've come together today.
Yes.
I'm just grateful to be here. Thank you.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you. Oh, it's so sweet. You're so sweet. And our listeners can write with any questions directly to my email, which I answer my email, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Pastor Jim has a new email. It's pastorjim@beaconofhopeministries.com. But mine is just pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you have any questions or comments, or if you'd like to get a message to Shell or Madeline. Madeline, some final thoughts there.
I was just thinking that I would encourage people who aren't familiar with the Bible to maybe give the Message Bible a shot, because I had huge just revelation in reading it and understanding it better than any other version I had encountered before. And maybe listen to some, you know, praise and worship music.
It's
really, I always said, I wish I grew up with praise and worship music, because, you know, when you listen to popular music in general, a lot of times it's a lot of negative stuff. And I love that you can sing and praise, you know, to God in a worshipful way, and positive, just positive life stuff.
Oh, and it changes your life. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have any praise and worship music, can't they go to iTunes?
Download probably just type in maybe Christian rock or Christian pop or contemporary
and,
Christian.
And, you know, on my TV, and it's probably on a lot of ours, I have Bright House, but there's different channels, and one of them is contemporary Christian music, and I have that one on a lot at home. And there's gospel, there's Southern gospel, there's all kinds of
different genres, something that you like.
Genre, that's an interesting name, word, isn't it? But you know what? it's true. And people can find their style that appeals to them, that speaks to them. We try to have kind of a variety here on Living the Good Life, so it speaks to a lot of people in different ways. Praise God. All right. This has been all about praising God. God bless you both. Thanks, Shell and Madeline.
Thank you.
This has been Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister with my guests Madeline and Shell today, part of our radio team. We're excited that you joined us. Tell a friend about this show and others. You can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and hear some of our recent shows. They're all there for the last couple of years. If we can help you, we want to do that very thing. Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com is the prayer line. You can write us, and we will make sure that your need is taken to our prayer team, and it will be prayed for. Come to Sunday morning at 10, Wednesday night at 7. Prayer meeting is at 6:15 on Wednesdays. If you want to be a part of Faithful Leaders, that's a very in-depth study of the Word. It's this Thursday, 7 o'clock. At Beacon of Hope. We're located at 3700 Almerton Road, right as you come off the interstate, 275 off Almerton, and we're easy to find. God bless you. Have a great week. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Have a great week, and it's been a joy to be with you today, as it always is every week. We love it. Tune in again next week, 4 o'clock, live on this radio station. God bless you. Have a great week.